The U.S. Federal Reserve has taken its most aggressive step yet in its battle to control soaring inflation. In a unanimous decision, the Fed's policymaking body raised interest rates by 0.5%, its biggest rate hike in 22 years. And that lifted benchmark borrowing costs to a target range between 0.75% and 1%. The move underscores the urgency of the Fed's action, given an environment where inflation is at a 40-year high. The U.S. Central Bank also signaled there will be more rate hikes to come, but Fed Chair Jerome Powell poured cold water on speculation they might take on sharper rate increases in the coming meetings.
75 basis point in an increase is not something the committee is actively considering.
The U.S. Central Bank also said it will start shrinking its $9 trillion bond portfolio next month, and the reduction will happen in phases, with nearly $50 billion in treasuries and mortgage-backed securities allowed to roll off the balance sheet initially, and they will step up that pace after 3 months. The Fed is hoping this time that the double-barreled policy action of rate hikes and a shrinking balance sheet will deliver a soft landing for the economy.
We have a good chance to restore price stability without a recession, without, you know, a severe downturn, and without materially higher unemployment.
The global fight to lower surging prices has compelled other central banks to tighten financial conditions. India's central bank announced a surprise increase to its benchmark rate yesterday. Australia earlier this week also raised its interest rate for the first time since 2010 and signaled further hikes to come. The major indices on Wall Street surged on the back of Chair Powell's announcement that three-quarter point rate hikes were off the table. Both the Dow and the S&P 500 saw their biggest one-day gain since 2020, and the Nasdaq spiked 3.2%. Investors betting that the Fed will be able to slow inflation without causing a recession. So for more on this aggressive move by the U.S. Central Bank, we're joined by Sam Chandon. He's a professor of finance at NYU Stern School of Business. Thanks for your time today, Sam. So 75 basis points off the table, it seems. Do you think a series of 50 basis point hikes will do the trick for inflation? And how high do you think rates can go in the U.S.?
I think it's clear that the market is responding positively from the messaging that we heard from the Fed today from Chairman Powell, that rate increases are likely to be in the range of 50 basis points at a time and not 75 basis points. And we saw that reflected in the way that the markets have responded. That being said, you know, the Fed does have a significant challenge ahead of it. The pace of the rate increases, you pointed out that these are the largest in more than two decades, really does reflect the view of the Fed that inflation is going to be a persistent threat to the economy, and one that has to be battled head on. Part of the challenge that I think the Fed is also signaling, and this is the real risk to the economy in my view, is that over the course of the next year, monetary policy and fiscal policy in the United States could be working at cross purposes. While monetary policymakers and the Federal Reserve are working to slow things by raising rates and rolling down that balance sheet, fiscal policy and the current administration are clearly going to be looking to increase the rate at which we're creating jobs to help grow the economy, and that implies more spending. You have these two branches of government, again, working potentially across purposes, and that would require that the Fed will take more aggressive action, and that's really where the risk of a potential recession comes in.
And that's an interesting point about the two different approaches here by the two sides, but how likely is it then that the Fed can engineer a so-called soft landing where inflation is not too high without really sparking a recession?
Right. And I think that's where the chairman said, and I think he was careful in his choice of words, there's a chance, there's a good chance that they can engineer a soft landing. That being said, that means that there's it's far from certain that he will be able to actually manage that outcome. What we do see is the possibility, and I think they're preparing for this, and you know, the decision to signal strongly that they'll move in 50 basis point increments really does reflect concerns around how you know, there are risks to downside over the course of 2022. Until we see a greater degree of price stability in the economy, those downside risks are real, and they do have their work cut out for them. They're going to have to monitor the economy very, very closely, both domestically and abroad, to ultimately engineer a soft landing. It is not outside the realm of possibility that we actually do see the Fed's moves push us into a brief period of contraction.
And Sam, what happens then if we do see a recession in the U.S. or if we see major volatility in the markets? What's your assessment of how focused this Federal Reserve is in trying to address inflation?
Sure. I think they're going to be in a really tough spot because they're hyper-focused on maintaining growth coming out of the pandemic. But they can't afford over the medium and long term to sustain the inflationary pressures. Now, this is happening. It does coincide with the approach to the midterm election season. And that is going to put both fiscal policymakers, the administration, as well as monetary policymakers in a very, very difficult position and having to navigate very, very carefully to find that fine balance between ultimately bringing prices down and keeping growth going. What that does mean for us over the course of, again, 2022, potentially into early 2023, what markets will ultimately be looking for is a greater degree of cooperation between fiscal and monetary policymakers. That might mean that the administration has to step back from some of its bigger and more ambitious plans for the kinds of interventions it wants to undertake, such as a very, very significant, historically significant infrastructure program.
So we'll see what they do on the infrastructure part, Sam. But what's your assessment of the U.S. economy right now? Do you think it's able to handle this type of rate increases? And do you think there's enough growth and supporters of growth in this environment?
Sure. I think the challenges for the U.S. economy now are, one, a challenge of perception, because by any reasonable standard, even in the midst of these rate hikes, rates remain at very low levels. And the cost of capital today is lower than it was in the months and quarters prior to the pandemic. And so the contextual element of this is important. We are not seeing by any means record high rates in terms of the costs of capital at any point along the yield curve. The other, important point here is that the constraint on the economy right now, and this is part of what is driving the wage price spirals in the market, is that we have a larger number of jobs open and available in the U.S. economy today than we've really seen at almost any other point in a generation. And our inability to fill those jobs, the great rotation, what's sometimes referred to as the great resignation, is exerting significant upward pressure in the wage market. One of the areas that I think we need to be careful of is the impact that all of this is having on consumers. There's a lot of focus on how, particularly as the Fed begins to roll down its balance sheet, as it starts to shrink the number of mortgage-backed securities that it's holding, that's really when we'll see some of the additional upward pressure on mortgage rates, on long-term interest rates. But what I think we also have to keep in mind is that in the United States, we face a significant crisis of affordability in the rental market. As those mortgage rates go up, housing becomes less attainable for families that are aspiring, for example, to buy their first home. Mm-hmm. What that means for us is added pressure in the rental market in the United States. Mm-hmm. And when we look at these inflation numbers, what we see is that increases in rents are already one of the most significant contributors to inflationary pressures in the United States today. All of this underlines just sort of what a challenging situation we face.
It is challenging indeed. Thanks so much for your insights on historic days, Sam Chandon there, professor of finance at NYU Stern School of Business.